We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey toward undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression. Our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, and embodied experience, and a product of disabling oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings, our grounds, and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence of which we are but a part. In this spirit, we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossings Online. I am Reverend Yadani Hailu, and I've been the temporary minister of this congregation while Reverend Kim is on parental leave. And I'm so glad to welcome you into this time together. If this is your first time with us, a special welcome to you, because no matter how we gather, we know it is a brave thing to explore community for the first time. I hope you will recognize in this hour together that we're a congregation that is striving to create community, to celebrate life, and to change the world. If after this morning's service you'd like to know more about us, fill out the digital visitor's card with the link provided in the chat so we can learn a bit about you and you about us. You'll also find a link to some weekly invitations for connection and learning. Additionally, if you or anyone is in need of closed captioning, you can turn it on by clicking on the bottom of your screen, the square with the letters CC inside. Click there and on the option Show Subtitle. If you do not wish to see closed captioning, go to that same square and click Hide Subtitle. I want to thank our tech hosts, MJ Hansen and Mike Gianella, who were behind the scenes and making our time to get today possible. I want to lift up MJ again and Lori O'Neill, who create the videos and slides you see each week. Steve Ryan, thank you for the music, and Daniel Lowney, this week's worship associate. We have a powerful team today. This month, we're talking creativity, how we can be, who we are becoming, and what adaptation and play can make possible in the now. Creativity is a resource in myself that I have found was less welcome in the seriousness of adulthood, but I have returned to time and time again for the sake of survival, resilience, healing, and relationships. Let's buckle in and contemplate outside of the box this month and invite creativity into our everyday for the betterment of all. Our opening hymn is Gathered Here. Please sing with us.
Gathered here in the mystery of the hour, gathered here in one strong struggle and the power, Spirit, draw near.
This week's opening words come from Maimai. Unity. Why does it mean so much? Why does it matter that it should be amongst us, between friends and families, our congregation, neighborhood communities? Let's think about the word unity again. The first three letters, stop, look closely, U, N, I. You and I. It's ironic how that works. We can't go anywhere with our relationship with the people we love without this next statement in mind. Human creation was designed to be a continuous population and togetherness, yet we always find a way to remain separated. Is it possible you can look deep in your heart and soul and find you need me just as much as I need you? The topic of unity isn't just one underlying issue. It involves communication. when you're happy and feel you have to celebrate, send me a text. When you're sad, call when you're sad, because I know you battle with being depressed. Tell me about your fears. No, I can't take them away. I'm not Jehovah, but understand I'm here. Or even when we have a disagreement. How am I supposed to know you're upset? It's not supernatural. I don't speak telepathically. I feel like Khalid. Can you just talk to me? Tell me how you're feeling. Voice your opinions. That's what's wrong with society. You know why? Because the lack of unity. Patience is also key, but that's another song for a different time. We're towards the end. Before I go, this is what you should know. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Without unity, there can be no strength. Each week, we light our chalice, a symbol of our faith, a beacon of hope, love, and justice. We join in this lighting in solidarity and community with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists lighting chalices today in homes and in virtual worship services, reminding us that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. Please join me in our chalice lighting words. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out love when I breathe in. I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out.
Hi, y'all. Robin is on vacation today, so I will be sharing our story for all ages. First, let's watch this quick video about fractals, and then we'll come on together.
Today, let's have some fun with fractals. To start with, what are fractals? You've probably seen tons of fractals in nature, but you just did not know that they are fractals. One example is the fern in this image. Here's what a whole fern looks like. Now if we zoom into one leaf, look, it looks like the whole fern. Now let's zoom in even more, and look at this, it looks like the fern again. Some flowers are also fractal. At first sight, if we see this bunch of flowers, we can see that the bunch is made up of many small flowers. But actually, if you look closer, each of the small flowers is made up of even smaller portions. Just the same way that each portion makes up the small flowers, each small flower also makes up the whole bunch. So each of these smaller portions is in fact similar to each of the flowers and even to the bunch. This is also an example of a fractal pattern. Another fractal is a broccoli. And don't we all really love broccoli? As you can see, each of the heads of the broccoli resembles the vegetable as a whole. Now that you've seen these examples of fractals, you can probably spot your next fractal in nature by yourself.
As we just learned, fractals are natural patterns that repeat and build larger or smaller versions of themselves. Fractals are all over in nature. And since we are nature too, can you think of some examples of fractals in our bodies or our lives? Well, first, there are tiny fractals in our cells that keep our long DNA strands from getting tangled up. And there are other fractal patterns in our lives as well. For example, have you ever taken care of a baby doll or a younger sibling? You probably took care of them the way that you have been taken care of. And the people who took care of you, well, they probably were taking care of you the same way they were taken care of. That's a kind of fractal as well. Or do you do anything else that was passed down? I know my sister, she laughs and tells me I wash my hands just like our mom. And when I told my mom, guess what she said? That she washes her hands just like her dad. The patterns we continue tell us where we come from and where we're going. Luckily, we are also creators and can shape some of the fractals in our lives. Think about the patterns you share with your friends, with your siblings, or anyone else. See how connected we all are. And remember, if you don't like repeating one of the patterns, know that you can still be creative and change how you act so that it can be even more loving, more clear, more just, or more fun. Stay curious to notice any more fractals or repeating patterns in nature and in your life, and learn from them all.
Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going?
Mysteries, mysteries. Well, our meditation today is from Adrienne Marie Brown, a Black queer femme writer, American activist, and organizer. I will share excerpts of her opening speech in the 2013 Allied Media Conference in Detroit, Michigan. Adrienne writes more about emergence, which is the theme of her talk, in her book, Emergent Strategies, as well as other books, her blog, and Instagram page. Here's what she said in 2013. Emergence is the way complex systems and patterns arise out of a multiplicity of relatively simple interactives. It emphasizes critical connections, authentic relationships, listening with the body and the mind. In emergence, the whole is a mirror of the parts, fractal. The health of the cell is the health of the species and the planet. There are examples of emergence everywhere. Oak trees don't set an intention to listen to each other better or agree to hold tight to each other when the next storm comes. Under the earth, always, they're reaching for each other. They grow such that their roots are intertwined and create a system of strength, which is as resilient on a sunny day as it is in a hurricane. Nothing is wasted or a failure. Emergence is a system that makes use of everything in the iterative process. It's all data. Jane Bynes, the mother of biomimicry, says nature would always create conditions conducive to life. Nature would always create conditions conducive to life. She tells of a radical fringe of scientists who are realizing that natural selection isn't individual, but mutual, that species only survive if they learn to be in community. How can we, future ancestors, align ourselves with the most resilient practices of emergence as a species? Many of us have been socialized that constant growth and critical mass are the ways to create change, but emergence shows us that adaptation and evolution depend more upon critical connections, dare I say, love, the quality of connection between the nodes in the pattern. Adrienne speaks of adaptivity in relationship as the guiding, organizing force of life on the planet. She's talking about collaborative creativity as the way forward and also the way back to our roots, to centering life. How to live and relate, learn, work, organize in a liberating way may be meditation and rest in your heart and minds and nestle into your bones as we listen to our responsive song. The chat will be open for you to share your joys and sorrows from this week. Please share as you are able and comfortable.
Thank you.
I am kindred spirits with Adrienne Marie Brown. She is the one I shared a meditation from. And also, she talks a lot about fractals and emergence, that we naturally multiply and complexify. We organizing consciously or not into larger organisms. The micro becomes the meso becomes the macro, and the macro ripples out and more, shaping the world. This isn't poetical, poetic and hypothetical or romantic notions. This is how the world is formed. Actions repeating into patterns, patterns gaining momentum and becoming norms, and norms forming culture, and culture writing history. We are a collection of various changes repeating into larger and smaller expressions, which become a mandala or a kaleidoscope of our life. Essentially, it is a makeup of fractals. I can give some examples. For example, this is not a fun one, but our culture does not yet prioritize accessibility. Instead of valuing access, the bias is given to output, the bottom line, money, and external productivity. This ripples out into the social square as disability injustice, where people's bodies are ignored and assumed incapable of participation before even having space. This is in our internal world, how we often must battle our own shame and forgetfulness to rest, to move with ease, to have leisure time when we move at the pace of curiosity instead of at anxiety. This is fractals. Whether for good or for bad, if you study the motif, you can see where we come from and where we're going. In The Parable of the Sower, a book I've referenced so many times, and I hope y'all picked up, if not yet, the protagonist is a teenager named Lauren. She is urging a peer in her community to learn what she can to survive beyond their thin walls. Lauren warns Joe that their walls will soon fall down too. And Joe quickly tries to shut Lauren's threats down. She held herself rigid, rejecting. You don't know that. You can't read the future. No one can. You can, I said, if you want to. It's scary, but once you get past the fear, it's easy. In LA, some walled communities bigger and stronger than this one just aren't there anymore. Nothing's left but ruins, rats, and squatters. What happened to them can happen to us. We'll die in here unless we get busy now and work out ways to survive. Lauren, in a few short chapters, is proven correct. The walls of her community were obliterated in minutes, and those who were still alive have only what they can run with. Now, we can't stop change, and most changes. Lauren could not stop the change, the inevitability of what was to come. But we can shape it. Having anticipated the pattern of destruction repeating, Lauren had wisely been studying survival off the land, indigenous plant foraging, agriculture, using weapons. She got a gun and she had a go bag, which she buried. When her world was turned to ruins, she adapted. She shaped it towards life. And she took her stashed goodies and escaped with her life and some hope. Throughout the book, Lauren shows that in the midst of chaos, there are patterns. There are fractals. And when one has the courage to study the world around them and look back, they can find the most probable future. So, looking around our world now, what is the most probable future? What are the patterns you see? What you notice reveals what you most likely will contribute to. For example, when I was a child, I thought, which I've shared before, that the world was full of evil, that organized destruction, that cruelty used strategy, but goodness had only one-off heroes fighting back. Maybe it was Jesus or Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Bernie Sanders, but the way I looked at the world told me only the ideal, perhaps only the infallible, could put a dent in the well-crafted fractal of pain and grief and loss and sorrow. As I got older, I realized myself as an Ethiopian American, Midwestern, chubby preteen, I wasn't in the books or the history that I was reading and was taught in school. From winning awards semester after semester in elementary school for how many books and my reading comprehension and my reading level, I sharply ended my passion for reading in the eighth grade. I vowed not to read any more books I couldn't see myself in. I can see now, by studying fractals and stories that I wasn't in, I often left myself hopeless and how I could shape change. Years later, when I was a freshman in college, I picked up Maya Angelou's autobiographies while taking some children I was babysitting to the library. On a whim, I decided to read it. And while I drank up her life story, I saw bits and pieces of myself in the pages, and I realized people who looked and lived like me have been here before. They have written about it, and they have wisdom to share. It's sad how revolutionary that was, but it literally rocked my world. And then I quickly read 3 to 4 books by Toni Morrison, James Baldwin, and Alice Walker. In college, I matured. And with more information integrated, I saw another fractal in the midst of the really well-organized villain of pain and change. I realized that as long as there has been oppression, there has been the emergent swells of life arching towards liberation. As long as there has been erasure, there was remembrance stored in the earth. As long as there was silencing, people have tucked truth into their stories, their songs, and their clothes. Did you know that as long as Europeans were stealing West Africans from their families for human trafficking, there were mothers braiding seeds into their and their children's hairs, that despite the unknown and the loss, that they were shaping it towards life, anticipating sovereignty over land once again? This is believed to be how we got West African indigenous foods like watermelon in the States, hope braided like seeds into one's hair. The fractal of life is to organize for liberation. And that, my friends, is the gospel of change. The good news of love truly being where we come from. Now, with this good news, our responsibility is the price for participation in the fractal of love and liberation. For example, today is July 4th, and in the United States, it's a national holiday celebrating independence being declared. I never understood. I'm just going to be like really real with y'all. I never understood why we were all expected to get excited about this day in elementary school. I remember checking with my teacher at her desk, like away from the class. And I asked her, weren't there still slaves then? And the Native Americans were being attacked too, right? I was really confused. I thought they had just told us that the Trail of Tears, a deeply traumatic era for Indigenous people, which was not the end, but just another marker, was still 60 years in the future after the Declaration of Independence. And chattel slavery was far from over until well after a century. And then it just kept morphing into the 19th and 20th centuries. Then there's women's rights and then civil rights and so many more rights and liberations that needed to come. Like, aren't y'all hearing the same history I'm hearing? All I see is genocide and war and cruelty and forced assimilation and ethnocentricity. And frankly, it's an embarrassing history, not a glorious tale. I think my teacher probably said something about the spirit of freedom and the fight was not over, but July 4th marks the beginning, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Whatever she said, I didn't believe it. But now I can say, I disagree with celebrating July 4th only for founding fathers. Because the fractal of liberation has been organizing and emerging much longer than the 1970s among land-owning white men in North America. And to that, I say, thank God. They didn't invent freedom. And if they didn't invent it, then we don't have to limit the definition of freedom by them. We can imagine and seek a depth of liberation beyond what even founding fathers hoped for themselves. Do any of y'all know the African-American spiritual, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me"? Well, it closes with the refrain by adding, "The world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away." So on this day, and anytime you're invited to celebrate independence, I invite you to give an offering to the fractal of liberation. Sow attention or commitment, gratitude, fellowship, in honor of this mighty pattern of liberation, which echoes throughout space and time. You can do it with a prayer or sharing with a friend. You can journal about the through thread of liberation from your life story or just this past year. Please, among the fireworks and the vegan burgers and the watermelon and the flags, spiritualize this day and commit to being part of the fractal continuously organizing for freedom for all. Everywhere.
There is always a light when we are ready to see it. There is always a light when we are ready to be it. To see the light, to be the light, to raise our eyes in the dark of night, to climb this hill, together we will. Shine your light in the dark.
We are ready to see it.
Shine your light in the dark.
We are ready to be it.
To see the light,
to be light,
to raise our eyes in the dark of night
and be a gift.
Together we will.
There is always
shine your light.
There is always
we are ready to see it.
There is always
shine your light.
There is always
in the dark.
We are ready to be it. To see the light, to be the light,
to raise our eyes in the dark of night
and be a gift.
Together we will.
There is always
shine light.
There is always
dark.
Shine
your light.
There is always
light.
To see the light,
to
be the light.
Shine your eyes in the dark of night
and be a climb this hill.
Together we will.
There is always
shine your light.
There is always
in the dark.
There is always
shine your light.
There is always
in the dark.
Be the light.
Oh my goodness. I really love Leah Morrison's work. I encourage all of y'all who really are a fan as well to go check her out on the internet and support her. Her song is inspired by Amanda Gorman's poem, and I have an invitation for everyone. I encourage you to center the histories of the communities erased in the mainstream celebration of July 4th, namely the enslaved Africans, enslaved African Americans, and indigenous peoples of this land. So I have three direct suggestions. The first, here's a channel on YouTube titled Not Your Mama's History, where Chinne McKnight is a living historian who conducts demonstrations from the perspective of the people who were enslaved and erased. Please check out her YouTube channel and website. The link is in the chat, and paste it somewhere else so you can remember and explore later on. The second is a contemporary show on YouTube that is funded by PBS, and it's called Say It Loud, and it's hosted by multiple young Black Americans. The show dives into the history of Black sounding names, or Black culture's many influences on mainstream American culture, the power of Black Twitter, and much more with humor and references. I highly recommend you spotlight this channel as well. The link again is in the chat. Now for my third and last invitation, it's a point of transparency. In crafting this invitation, I realized I didn't already follow any Indigenous people's YouTube channels. A couple years ago, when in a similar position, I realized I wasn't hearing from any direct Indigenous people's experiences and perspectives in my grad school education. And so then, at that time when I came to realize it, over the course of a few months, I intentionally read and listened to books centering and authored by Indigenous to Western Hemisphere communities. And I followed Instagram pages to not only include them, but to prioritize the Indigenous and Latinx voice in my day-to-day. So just this week, it happened again. I realized I wasn't seeing a full picture. And so this week, I went to YouTube, and it's simple. I just searched Indigenous channel. From that search, I found two videos by Indigenous YouTubers with their own personal lists of their favorite Indigenous channels on YouTube, spanning a wide variety of topics from culture, lifestyle, vlogs. From this simple search, I broadened my mind, and within an hour, I had watched many videos, y'all. And I also subscribed to a few of the channels. So for my third invitation, I invite you to do the same. This practice is of shaping our lifestyle towards love and liberation. This is how we curate our life by our values. This is how we be the light. So on Independence Day or later, watch these channels, donate to Patreons, share Indigenous and Black voices as your feed your offering back to the fractal of liberation. Be the change, shape the change. So please check out these YouTube channels, watch at least three of their videos from each, and you don't have to do it all in one day. but do it soon. Share a video with a friend and discuss what you learned over dinner with your family or maybe with your partner. Follow people on these different social media platforms that you prefer. It may not seem like much, but I have deep abiding faith in the impact of shaping change and the ripple effects of fractals. Remember, the links are in the chat, so just copy and paste them somewhere else before the service is over. But for now, let us continue with the offering.
Each week, our financial affirmation offers the opportunity for us to uphold and respect the interconnected web of life of which we are but a part. 50% of each week's financial affirmation, excluding pledges, is given to organizations in our community and in the world that do the work of caring and advocacy, of sustaining growth and carbon life, such as Loaves and Fishes. Churches and social service organizations in central New Jersey take turns preparing and serving a hot meal and providing a bag lunch for those who are hungry at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton. Over 800 meals are served on a typical Sunday. To make a donation, you may use PayPal. E-banking is also an option. Or you can send a check through the mail directly to the church or visit the UUC WC website. The link has just been posted in the chat. Remember to kindly assist our treasurer by noting what your pledge is for, if using PayPal or sending a check directly to the church. And as always, your generosity and affirmation is greatly appreciated.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out.
May we be the light by studying and shaping fractals. May you remember you are beloved and go out from here and be love. Join us again next week when we talk about reviving our creative side and multiplying goodness. But now, let us sing our commitment of life in the song Just As Long As I Have Breath.
Answer yes to life, though with pain I made my way, still with hope I meet each day. If they ask what I did well, tell them I said yes to life. Just as long as vision lasts, I must answer yes to truth. In my dream and in my dark, always that elusive spark. If they ask what I did well, tell them I said yes to truth. Just as long as my heart beats, I must answer yes to love. Disappointment pierced me through, still I kept on loving you. If they asked what I did well, tell them I said yes to
Please, if you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.